Hello, Stigmatine Conference. Father Hensi here describing our course on Communion in St. Gaspar Bertone, a course on Holy Communion. Welcome, too, to members of the Stigmatine laity and anyone who might have chanced by to hear this reflection. What we're doing here in some way is repetitive. The last course that I worked on was on two points, the Church, the Stigmatines as administrators of the community of God, that everything we own that's sacred is for a holy purpose. So St. Gaspar thought that God owned it and we were just the bookkeepers. So this course on Holy Communion is to show the great struggle we've had in the Stigmatine community with communion. There was a 12th general chapter that took place in 1890, and there was about 21-1 favoring the equality of schools and preaching. And this became an explosion within the community based, as far as I can see, on the diary of one of the capitulars who may have been the one who voted against this, making equality between teaching and preaching or parish missions. My course has been developing here through a very careful reading of Part 9 of St. Gaspar's Constitutions on what is the major tasks, in the plural, of the Stigmatine professed member, meaning those who had been promoted individually by the Fathers General to the more difficult ministries, or sometimes called opus perfectum sacerdotale. My interpretation of this is it means any task that is urgent to a bishop with whom we are in dialogue for a possible Stigmatine service, any ministry whatsoever, the word of God, the perfect work of the priest in this concept would be whatever the bishop sees as his great need. So since this chapter divided us to some extent, and since being committed to such a broad range of tasks, it's very difficult to stay together as a community. And we notice this in recent years, the emphasis of the Church on communion, the Church itself, the union of bishops, the union of laity, the union of families, and the union of priests. So let us begin with a prayer as we continue our presentation of Part 12 of St. Gaspar's Constitutions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mary and Saint Joseph, spouses, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Saint Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So my effort here was just to invite confreres to take another look at this Part 12, a very careful look, based on the studies of Father Suarez, of which this Part 12 is simply a synthesis and very often is copied. And I've indicated in a number of areas where the texts may be found and compared. They're almost identical in many instances. And then also, along with that, the study of the chapter minutes preceding the 12th general chapter. So presently, we're in that aspect of the apostolic mission that Father Bertone mentions 9 times in his constitution, is that of teaching catechism. There's a very interesting rule in St. Ignatius' constitution, 437. It says this: the rector of our colleges and universities and communities himself ought to teach catechism for 40 days. What could this possibly mean other than, it seems to me, a weekly hour dedicated to teaching catechism? It's what we did as young novices, we did it as young postulants, and then it ended. So whether there is something to be gained here, but the reason it is an item here is because it is part of St. Gaspar's treatment. He calls it one of the more important ministries. Father Carlos Zara, in his diary, said the teaching catechism in the summer to the peasant children might have been, for that day and age and that particular locale, one of the greatest of the apostolic missions. So, what we'll read here is it needs to be pointed out again that even though in external appearances teaching catechism to children and unlettered seems to be the least conspicuous task, yet it is so necessary for the Catholic Church and thus needs all the more humility, in accord with the very pressing recommendation it receives from the members of the society. The recipients of this Jesuit catechetical instruction is not limited simply to children, but include a broad latitude also among the adults who have much need of greater instruction. It's interesting in this context to realize in our own lifetime, Pope St. John Paul II showed that this is a major task, and the religious, especially, and priests should sacrifice other more showy or maybe personally rewarding tasks to this rudimentary task of teaching the young and also those without education. Of course, in our day and age, education has been made possible and viable for more and more people. But there is a great deal of newspaper and instruction, or I guess we'd say television instruction. An American author once wrote a book called The Moviegoer, Walter Percy. He was a medical doctor and he failed out because he had TB. So he wrote this book, The Moviegoer, and it's a picture of the story of a man. Whenever he was faced with a decision that he didn't want to make, he'd go to the movies. And that became the main source of his information. Well, I'm sure we have many of these either on internet or television or cell phones or whatever as the main source. So while there is widespread information communicated, how much of it penetrates and is really education and a formation of personality? So on the part of the teachers, there is emphasized over and over again that the knowledge of one who wants to teach catechism should not be mediocre, because sometimes the innocent ones can present us with the most challenging questions. So we need a more than ordinary knowledge, which St. Gaspar repeats in number 49, 71, and 159. We need to have knowledge of the dogmas of the Church and a deeper appreciation of moral and spiritual matters. It is surely presupposed that the students of the society are not yet sufficiently instructed. Therefore, for this ministry, there is need much industry, solicitude, and knowledge among the religious, especially of the older members, that would be of great benefit to the Church insofar as up to the present experience has shown through divine grace. It's only right there that in the profession, that is the most sublime level to which a stigmatine or Jesuit could be promoted, meaning those with the fourth vow, an express mention of this work is to be made involving not only the students, but all levels of members of the community or the Society of Jesus. This work is commended. But in a special manner is it commended to those professed who are to understand that the ministry of the teaching catechism pertains in a special manner, as has already been declared. Pope John Paul II, I think, put his finger on the major problem. This is not a very glorious ministry. It's not one that can in any way be personally rewarding. I don't mean by that's what we look for, but that is the human tendency. To go maybe were to do those things in the need of organizing our forces and capacity, but some might lean toward those ministries which are more financially rewarding. And we brought this up in the chapter of 1970. So the manner of reaching out to young people is suggested by St. Gaspar by oratories. He organized these groups, very comparable, as I've said a few times, to the CYO. And even private instructions, all this should be promoted to the extent that our members can accomplish this. One of the great problems we have teaching the young seminarians on how to hear confessions and exercise the ministry of reconciliation. One of the problems is that people need help, need time. And with our few members, And there's a few priests, this is not always possible. So if we could devise some way of organizing maybe a deeper appreciation of this, and it's easier to suggest this than to do it or to know exactly what to do. At any rate, private tutoring was noted in the Constitution immediately preceding in assisting seminarians, both for their academic and spiritual development of the seminarians and students. Personal conversations were praised by Pope Paul as a method Jesus used, Paul VI. Anyway, Pope Paul spoke of this in his document on Evangelii Nuntiandi of 1975, the Holy Year. So it is only right then that the profession of the society, in that actual profession, there is express mention of this work to be made involving not only the students, but all the workers in the Society of Jesus. But the professed members, those who are of the highest level of apostolic commitment, are to understand that this ministry of catechism pertains in a very special manner, as has already been declared. Now that's in the time of St. Gaspar, and probably we could see it in our own time as well. We often say in the United States that since the end of the Second Vatican Council in 1965, we have two or three generations of Catholic adults baptized, but maybe 2% catechized. Very, very few know the prayers, know how to use a Bible, know any of these basic realities. So private tutoring is something that maybe we do once in a rare while. I think as a seminary teacher, this has been one of the more rewarding ministries that I have been able to do. In Constitution number 166 of St. Gaspar, this has been interpreted in various ways. Admittedly, the Latin is a bit elevated, where it says, ubi fieri potest, literis etiam instrui, a nobis juventutum decet. Wherever it is possible, it would be proper or fitting for our members to be involved in the education of the youth. Well, those who would see the schools in the history of the Stigmatines merely as a palliative, a kind of a cover-up to hide from the government Father Bertone's true intentions, often quote this passage, this Latin, meaning that only when all else is done would we then even think of schools, because it's in the conditional, and it doesn't say debet, but decet. Debet would mean they should do this, and decet says it would be fitting if they did. However, this constitution is taken word for word from St. Basil, quoted by Suarez, who gives a totally different explanation why the Society of Jesus should commit its members to the working of teaching of youth with all this sublime learning and professorships and so on. This is most fitting. They do not give this central aspect up. So in this section regarding the apostolic mission to the youth, Father Bertone relies heavily on the Jesuit theologian's Book 5. I have two volumes here. Volume 1 would be Books 1 to 5, and then Volume 2 would be Books 6 to 12, I think it is. It's a massive tome, on very maybe 10 gauge printing, two columns on each page like an encyclopedia. So in Chapter 5, Suarez asks the question whether or not the society fittingly should take up the ministry of the education of the youth. And from the outset, he makes very clear that when the Jesuit rule speaks of the instruction of children, he did not mean that this was only to be some kind of a limited instruction, or simply on some knowledge of the church and some trying to be a good child. It never was meant to be simply the communication of the rudiments of Christian doctrine. This ministry is not one he intended just for college students or university students or young professed Jesuit students. This is a work proper to the professed of the society. And that's found in Suarez Book 6, Chapter 3. And it's a real emphasis that is given to this ministry, as we have seen. So in this connection, it might be helpful to see how Suarez distinguishes three separate orders of knowledge. This is like old theology, but We have something like it in the works, the people learning a trade. You have an apprentice, I think that's at least 3 years, a journeyman, and then a master plumber or a master carpenter. So Suarez distinguishes knowledge as infimum, medium, and supremum. Infimum would be the lowest level, the first contact teaching of catechism. Medium would be the two sermons or the teaching of school. But the supreme would be really to teach this in a way that people would change their lives. It's something like going from a high school diploma to a BA, to a doctorate, a PhD or whatever. So cases of conscience pertain to this supreme level. On the middle level, we find the curriculum for a baccalaureate of arts, for example, which would include mathematics, ethics, and other moral philosophy as such. This matter has some connection with sacred doctrine, properly so called, because it pertains to a kind of a religious contemplation when a sincerely religious person looks out at the world. He also must have some concern, worry, and prayer for the church as it is and what it still could become. So this is already a level beyond childhood because of its content, but in the lowest level would pertain the instruction of children and the unlettered regarding perfection of languages, beginning with the fundamentals of grammar, Greek and Hebrew and so on. All of this to lead to a BA in college. With these distinctions in mind, there is a further one. This ministry can be looked absolutely in itself or in comparison made to the other religious families. Many religious families have this as their basic rule. So the objection presented to Suarez was, then therefore the Jesuit shouldn't do it. There's already plenty of people doing this. Well, if we look around at the results, they're not too encouraging. So there certainly is need of people very well prepared for this very, very challenging, ministry. Suarez calls it most opportunity for the youth and supremely necessary for the Republic to make better citizens. Could we use the word more informed voters? So the text speaks of what is conveniently or fittingly pertains. So the question as to whom, it is self-evident that it benefits the youth who receive this, as well as the Republic, which includes who decides this? Well, it seems to be almost the constant appreciation of the modern magisterium of how badly this is needed in the church of the present time. In this also is one of Father Bertone's favorite principles, that of progress. We have great emphasis now in ongoing conversion, continuing formation for priests and religious. Most doctors and many lawyers are very committed to renewing, keeping updated. But for many, many priests, this is a terrible burden. How do we update and continually to read and to study and to prepare the Word of God and more succinctly? So, as Pope Paulus tells us always, what we need is not more teachers, but better witnesses, those whose example communicates the message. So in this case, the message is the messenger. It gets blocked if the messenger is unhappy or bitter or involved in other interests. So Ignatius uses words like instructio, eruditio juvenum, which means the instruction and the erudition of the young. But what he really has here in mind is an increase in the knowledge of students coupled with a betterment of their lives. This is a religious preceptor can have as his higher ultimate purpose more and more good moral spiritual preparation over a student over the simple imparting of knowledge. So in other words, not only to teach them, but to shape them into good citizens, into good believers. So the church canons always extended the view of the need of exemplary teachers to be truly suitable lovers of the Catholic faith and not suspect of heresies. So we're having a tremendously difficult time in providing for seminary faculties. First of all, it's not a tremendously rewarding exercise unless you really are committed to the future of the church. My own life has been blessed by this form of instruction for almost 50 years, that it's been a real rewarding life, and hoping that maybe some little contribution might be made to the betterment of the church in the future. So this instruction of little people, of young people and unlettered, is supremely in harmony with the ultimate purposes and the institution of the Society of Jesus. St. Ignatius found this to be very important, as also did St. Gaspar. So this ministry of the Word of God whatsoever is one that includes certainly, and on an important level, evangelical conversations and the teaching of catechism. This is really part of the apostolic mission. When I was a young man seeking some kind of guidance in which way to go, because I knew I felt I wanted to be a priest and a religious, I remember asking all the younger stigmatines that I knew at that time, what is the basic purpose of the stigmatines? And invariably the answer would be youth work. We had summer camps, we had people involved in camping and guiding of the young people and so on. But to say now that the youth, which include three chapters of this very important part 9 of the Constitution, are all subservient to parish missions, I really find not to be in harmony with part 9. Certainly it's not in harmony with the general chapters preceding the 12th, nor is it anywhere in harmony with the teaching of Suarez, upon whom these constitutions are based. So it's important to reflect on the context in which these constitutions were presented by Father Bertone through the Jesuit theologian Suarez. In part 9, dealing with the grade of the professed, that was an important item because these men in the Society of Jesus were meant to be the central core, not in any sense of an elite, but those from whom more could be asked and more could be demanded because they would be the more responsive to their earlier training and study. So this so-called lower ministry, the modern popes have called it most fitting for religious. It is proper for religious to dedicate themselves to the erudition of the youth, even on the lowest levels, simply because this inferior knowledge is necessary to grasp the higher matters for anyone who's a believer, and eventually the doctrine leading to eternal life. So as we have great emphasis on the ongoing formation and theological updating of priests and religious, well, certainly in the laity, once they get confirmation, there's very little offered to them. They may come for precana for a few weeks, maybe a few weekends over the course of a year. But there's very little follow-up. There's no course, for example, for young marrieds. Our own Father White for many years was dedicated to the groups of the Christian family and was very happily engaged in that until I believe it disbanded or whatever happened. But when there's no interest, it's very hard to do these things. But I think the stigmatine charism asks for creativity that we might find a way of communicating this vital message of the Church. Without this message, the Church will greatly lose its... It just seems like one other religion where we believe that all of this is built up in response to the mandate of Jesus, go out to the whole world, making disciples of all of the nations. So at any rate, in the minds of the recent pontiffs, this ministry of teaching catechism is not only most useful, but it's most necessary. And the ministry, while it does seem almost insignificant, it is great in what it achieves, in that this endeavor, the morals and higher disciplines of the Church depend on great part. Maybe a hope is better Catholics would be better spouses, better mothers and fathers, and better citizens because of their conviction of faith. So this is from John Paul, Catechesi Tridente. While it might seem lower in dignity, this ministry, it is certainly of greater merit in view of the service and the present needs of the Church. So the youth are gradually prepared that they might later assume these higher disciplines. Little by little, young people move from the inferior studies on God and His Word to those of a higher level. To teach in this way is a work of great charity. It's very interesting. In the olden days in the United States, the Jesuit colleges were called novitiates because they really insisted on daily mass, regular confession. They were pious exhortations in these colleges. Basically, that has much been stamped out by the modern mentality and even by the administration as perhaps a fruitless ministry for these times. Well, if that is the fact, the invitation is, let's try to find out some way that we can reach this precious reservoir of to communicate the Word of God. So the instruction of youth is the ministry most opportune for the church, and the grace of God will be not lacking for it, for both the Society of Jesus as well as the Stigmatines. St. Ignatius certainly did not think that the instruction of the youth to be unworthy or alien to the Society of Jesus, but he did issue a caution in number 451. To teach someone how to read and write is a work of charity. And if the Society should ever have enough members to be able to do this, then it would be a good ministry for us. The great example here is St. Francis Xavier. His letters back to the Jesuit Curia in Rome were talking about teaching prayers to the little children where he was. So anyway, while catechism is one of the more serious ministries, grammar school never was and never should be, and it's something we don't ordinarily do. What we're talking about here is the religious oblation, the Latin obsequium from Romans 12:1. Make of your body, your life, an oblation to the mercy of God. This is a reasonable offering. Make it living and much appreciated by God himself. That's St. Paul's idea to the Romans in chapter 12. So Father Bertoni's conclusion of the part 9 is Constitution 167. In Suarez is actually the introductory paragraph, but that's kind of a technical thing that really doesn't make much difference here. So we'll conclude all of this with saying that the real goal of teaching is to make students good people, to try, if we can, to prepare them for married life, family life, and life as citizens. This seems to be the substance of St. Gaspar's 167 and 203. So we've seen now chapters 1, 2, and 3 of part 9. The next one will be chapter 4 of part 9. The means, how do we do this, conserving the moral integrity of the youth and increasing it? He dedicates 8 and 9 constitutions to this, the famous law of progress, to which we hope to return in the next lecture. Bless you and thank you for listening. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. God bless you, and thank you for listening.